Peyton, I'm losing control of the battle over podium guy because Tacoma Jim texted in 800-465-8770, says podium, what the other guy said is right. When you get top three in a race, you get to stand on the podium, a podium finish. Okay, now I'm just flat out losing the argument. People are telling me that podium guy should actually be called lectern guy, and I don't, it just doesn't have the same ring to it. I mean, he's been arrested, stormed the Capitol, arrested. Podium guy. I just want him to be podium guy. Why can't we just leave podium guy alone at this point?
Look, it's tough to pick the fight with the listener. There's so many of them. So many texts in. You will always lose that. There's only one Jack Stein.
I'm only one man against 20,000. So speaking of, over 20,000 National Guard troops are going to provide security against the inauguration threats in Washington. This is really rough. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in my life whatsoever. I've never lived in a third world country, but it's very reminiscent of that. The paranoia around fringe groups going to the Capitol and trying to do some kind of terrorist act. This is so intense. I've been looking at the pictures of the National Guard in the rotunda. I've been looking at the barricades, and it is unbelievable to me. Jason Rantz is actually on the ground there right at this very moment. He will be broadcasting live from D.C. all next week. Geraldo Rivera, national treasure and hero, decided to... He came out and he said the security measures for the inauguration are reminiscent of Afghanistan and Baghdad. Here's what that sounds like.
I'm having flashbacks to Kabul, Afghanistan, and to the Green Zone in Baghdad, Major Pete. It is disconcerting to see our nation's capital under military law. But you had a situation where the armed forces and law enforcement of the federal government were humiliated a week ago. They were caught absolutely flat-footed. They were embarrassed. Five people died. Two cops died. There's nothing that... gets the dander up of our law enforcement, our men in blue and our soldiers, then cops getting killed. They took over the capital of the United States. They're going after these people. You mentioned how many were already arrested. They're using sedition conspiracy on many of these. This is not trespassing. Sedition conspiracy. If two or more conspire to overthrow, put down, or oppose by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law, it's imprisoned... you can be in prison for not more than 20 years. So this is really a very big, grim deal.
I'm reminded of when that group was attempting to kidnap and kill Gretchen Whitmer, and I'm reminded of how awful and how terrible that was. And when that story first broke, at first they were saying that the guys who did it were Trump supporters. They were saying that these were Trump supporters who were fed up with Governor Gretchen Whitmer's restrictions, and that is why they were going to try to kidnap her and all this other stuff. As it turns out, the guys in that group were just kind of agents of chaos, and they view America in general as a tyranny state. I don't know if anybody ever followed up on that story, but those guys who attempted to kidnap the governor of Michigan, they were just agents of chaos. They see themselves as fighting against the government of America in general. They viewed President Trump as a tyrant. They viewed him as a despot, right? They in no way, shape, or form had aligned themselves with the GOP or MAGA or Trump. They were not interested whatsoever. So when I think about who might go to the Capitol, the fools that they are, I don't think that you're going to see a lot of Trump supporters at the Capitol. I sincerely don't. What you will see, if they do go, will be these agents of chaos. Now, they take that silly name, the Boogaloo Boys, things like that. They view themselves as being for liberty and for freedom, but also they see the route to get to that is through chaos, through the complete and total destruction of the United States government as we see it presently. So if we do see people there on Wednesday, I wouldn't be surprised if these are just people who are so fringe when it comes to politics that they are so far out there. I think some people might call themselves the 3%ers, right? In terms of the revolution, only 3% of people stood up to fight during the British in 1776. So I'm a 3%er. I don't think you're going to see a lot of Trump supporters out there whatsoever. I think we have to come to terms with the fact. We as people on the right, we need to come to terms with the fact that there is a fringe element of our ideology. It's way far out there. In the same way that if you're consider yourself to be liberal or on the left, that there is a fringe element that is way far out there in terms of what is acceptable in discourse. Now, the problem is, is that people on the left tend to embrace it. They tend to say that this kind of activism, it's for the cause, man. These are great individuals. Think about it like this. Kamala Harris set up a bail fund for the people that had been arrested during the BLM riots. Did we see Mike Pence going out, setting up a bail fund for all these people who stormed the Capitol? No, absolutely not. Because people on the right, much quicker to condemn fringe ideas, much quicker to condemn this kind of a lunacy that we see with some people who have just gone so far down the conspiratorial rabbit hole that they are totally disconnected from reality. Now, the mayor of D.C. came out and someone said, well, are we ever going to go back to normal? And she said, we are going back to a new normal. Here's what that sounded like.
I think that we're going to go back to a new normal, Stephanie. And I think that our entire country has to deal with how our intelligence apparatus, security apparatus at every level deal with a very real and present threat to our nation. We saw white extremists storm the Capitol building who were trained and organized and seemingly with the intent to capture the Vice President of the United States and perhaps harm other lawmakers. So we all have to think about a new posture. We certainly have to think about a new posture in the city.
So there's a left-wing activist who was charged in the Capitol riot today after saying that he was just there to document. So he's been arrested, and he's the gentleman who's been on the news. He told Fox News last week that he'd followed a pro-Trump mob into the Capitol in order to document the siege. But now he's subject of a criminal complaint in connection with his alleged participation. Again, alleged participation, egging people on, telling people to go in. I think it was a combination of these two things. Fringe elements. We know that there was a guy who showed up with pipe bombs and Molotov cocktails, just the grossest of behaviors and the most deplorable of behaviors, if you want to use that word correctly. And then we see this guy, and allegedly in the footage, he's cheering people on, saying, yeah, we got to get in there. We have to break in there. We got to break this down. This is ours. This has been my running theory the entire time. There is a group out there, fringe actors, far right, maybe alt-right, maybe these agents of chaos that I brought up earlier, and then a couple of left-wing activists sprinkled in there, and they egg each other on, and that's how we get to this point. Those are the people who broke through the Capitol. And then what we see is all the boomers who were at the Trump rally trickling in and then saying, oh, well, I guess we're all going into the Capitol now. This is why we were talking about Juice Box Woman earlier. I don't know if people have seen this picture, but there's an older woman and she's walking around with what looks like a juice box. And she's walking around the rotunda and she looks as if she's lost. She's completely directionless. She has no idea what she's doing there. This is what I'm saying. It's such a confusing event. And there's so much around it that I'm so frustrated with the way that people have been responding to it. The people who chose to go to the Capitol, what they have done now is they have ruined it for everybody else. Do you remember that in grade school when somebody would, the teacher said, well, if everybody's quiet for the next 5 minutes, we're going to get an additional 5 minutes of recess. And then that one loser at the back of the classroom had to start making noise so nobody got recess. That's what these guys basically did. We could have used the momentum for President Trump and that whole rally. That momentum could have propelled us forward 2022, 2024. And now it's going to be a lot more difficult because these fringe morons decided to go into the Capitol. Now, again, with the inauguration, Trump has decided not to go. He said that he will be leaving Washington on the morning. And I gotta say to President Trump, I would encourage him to go. I would encourage him to go and make one final speech to the American people before he pops up into the political discourse again. He goes and he makes his case and he says whatever he wants to say. And then he confirms to everybody that peaceful transfer of power, because otherwise he's going to come across as being bitter. And he's going to come across as being anything but presidential. But if he went and he said, you know what, I disagree with this. I still feel as if the election was stolen from me. He could go and he could make that case, and I think that it would be fine. The fact that he's leaving, again, if I had a personal relationship with the president, I would say, President Trump, just go, make your speech, drop the mic, walk out. Do a power move. do a Michael Jackson. Show up, get 15 minutes of spicy hot fire, drop a spicy meatball on everybody, and then walk out with your lovely wife and get on a plane and go to Mar-a-Lago. Do that, because you will stop the show if you do that. But now, by leaving, all of the attention is going back to Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. And I think that I'm not sure if that's really the best way to go about this. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think that he should go. If I could talk to him now, I would say, President, you should go to the inauguration. We got to take a really quick break. Got to talk to traffic. We'll be right back after this quick break. So I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this story about President Trump deciding not to go. And again, he's going to take off from the Air Force Base, and he might give a speech there. But I would really think that if he would go, and if he could just get the look on everybody's face as he dropped the mic and walked out of the room, that would just be absolutely golden. Now, some people are coming out, and they're saying that history will judge Trump as the worst president in history. This is from a young lady, Nia Henderson, at CNN. Again, she said that historians are going to judge Trump as the worst president in history. Here's what that sounded like.
Listen, in terms of his place in history, I think we know what his place in history is going to be. He is going to be most likely the worst president. Historians will judge him the worst president that this country has ever seen. And again, that is his own doing. He squandered his opportunity, whether it was over COVID or in these last many, many months, to tell the truth about losing an election and then, of course, inciting a riot with his lies.
I don't see it that way. I simply do not see it that way. I actually think that people will look back at President Trump's presidency in a positive way. Despite what has happened over the last year, I think that history, when we get 20 years out, 25 years out, we will be looking about it in a very positive way. Actually, a very good friend of mine said, we will be looking back at schools that are named Donald J. Trump Elementary. We will be looking back at colleges that are named after the president. The president will get his presidential library. I think now that because tensions are so high around the president, and because people have been so primed to be so just absolutely negative towards the president of the United States, that it's impossible to make that kind of determination. But when we look at the president through an accurate lens, through the historical lens, the proper lens, I think that people will have a much different opinion of him. Peyton, can you think of anybody that we thought initially was like a bad, terrible person, and now when we look back, we actually realize that they were trying to do the right thing? I've been trying to think about this all day, and I've been trying to think about who we used to think was a absolutely terrible individual, and now in the light of history, in the distance of history, we don't view them the same way.
Thanos.
Thanos? Why? Why would you say Thanos? That makes no. You're talking about the guy from the Avengers.
Yeah, the villain. Are you a Redditor by chance?
Oh yeah, I am a Redditor like nobody's business.
There's a huge Reddit or subreddit on called Thanos Had a Point. And you can go through there, and it's just everyone making compelling arguments that, you know what, maybe Thanos wasn't such a bad guy, and he kind of had the right idea going. So I'm going to go with Thanos.
The weird thing about that movie, that the Avengers movie, the last one that came out, it was actually a very surprisingly pro-American film, because Thanos' whole proposition in that narrative is he's got the communist mantra, perfectly balanced as everything should be. That is a very communist statement. That is a very Soviet-era statement. And you have all these kind of American-esque figures who are going out and fighting against the communist menace. And if you think about it even more, if you look at the visuals of Thanos in the movie, everyone's got this very drab, very gray, very particular color palette, in the same way that we see in the Soviet Union. So I wonder if inadvertently the filmmakers in that movie, it made it a pro-American film in just completely inadvertently. Like, they didn't realize that a phrase like perfectly balanced as everything should be, again, comes across as a very Marxist and a very communist statement. But that's a theory for another time. So Rose McGowan has come out, and she has actually slammed the impeachment. Now, if you remember Rose McGowan, she came out against Harvey Weinstein last year or 2 years ago, and she started that whole ball a-rolling. But she came out and she called it cult propaganda and mass distraction, and I found myself just enamored with this woman in reading this article, because this is exactly the way that I feel about this entire situation. She said elites are ignoring the country's starving, sick, and poor. And by the way, that is, it's such a great point. because this whole impeachment is such an incredible distraction as to what is actually going on in the country. So we see the impeachment is going on at the same time that Joe Biden comes out with this plan where he's just going to pump money into the economy. So there's this narrative that's going on, this very particularly structured narrative, where we're supposed to look at Trump as the worst president of history. He's going out disgraced, according to these people, where it's going to be a dark stain on American history. But then Joe Biden comes in. He's the shining light of hope, and he's going to come in and he's going to fix everything. This is the constructed narrative. And people, I think, are going to push back against it. Rose McGowan is no right winger. Rose McGowan is no staunch conservative. She's coming out, but she's saying this impeachment is cult propaganda, a theater of mass distraction. U.S. cult members on the left will cheer. Those on the right will be in a fury. And the country's starving, sick, and poor will sink farther and farther, she wrote, adding sarcastically, good thing the elites are leading us. And I found myself wanting to just stand up and applaud this idea, because she's more than welcome to come on over. Rose McGowan, it's real good on this side of the aisle. You want to come on down, you want to hang out. We are usually right about most things. We're generally pretty accurate about everything that we notice going on. This is going to be the trend. I guarantee it. Over the next 2 to 4 years, people are going to start waking up to what's actually going on in their country. When the taxes start going up, when the corporate tax rates start going up, when your individual tax rates start going up. Joe Biden said he's not going to tax anybody anymore under $400,000. You believe that for a second? I don't whatsoever. So people are going to notice, wait a minute, I had a lot more money in my bank account when Trump was in office. I had a lot, my tax bill wasn't as high when President Trump was in office. So what exactly is going on here? I would say, you know, a lot of people they like to make fun of President Trump. They make fun of his intelligence. They say that he's not very wordy, and he's not very eloquent, and that he reads and speaks at something like an eighth grade level. I would actually say that the genius of President Trump was to come in and to be the individual that he was, and cut tax rates for individuals, and cut restrictions and cut regulations, knowing that potentially he wouldn't have won a second term, and knowing that he needed to put people in positions in the courts. And knowing that he needed to prepare for all this. Now, some people might say it was a happy accident. I don't think so. I think that Trump banked on the idea that he was not going to get a second term. As much as he might have said otherwise, as much as he said, of course I'm going to win. Of course, absolutely. I think that he kind of planned this to a certain extent. Because now look what's going to happen. People are going to realize that they have less money. Their communities have less money. And we're all supposed to be thankful for $2,000 checks. I'll give you another instance about why Rose McGowan should come on over to the right. Because again, we are normally right about most things. So we all remember the Jacob Blake shooting. We all remember what happened with the whole Jacob Blake shooting and how this was a huge push, Kenosha, the riots. Everyone was talking about white supremacy, and then they somehow linked it into President Trump, and they said he is such an awful person. And there's this, again, a weird narrative that gets weaved through American culture. So as it turns out, Jacob Blake admits that he had a knife when he was shot by the police. Here's what that sounded like.
I resisted to getting beat on, and what I mean by that is not falling, not letting them put their head on my neck. That's all I was thinking, honestly.
So that's actually why Jacob Blake says that he was resisted getting beaten up by the police. But he came out, and if I was his lawyer, I would have said, you do not say any of this. But he came out and he admitted, yeah, I was resisting arrest. And I had a knife in my car. Again, here's Jacob Blake admitting that he had a knife when he was shot by the police.
I'm rattled, you know. I realized I had dropped my knife. I had a little pocket knife. So I picked it up after I got off of him. Because they tased me and I fell on top of him.
So remember, we were told that this was a racist shooting, that this was an example of a racist police officer, and then the riots in Kenosha were completely justified, and if you disagreed with them, or you interpreted the footage a different way, that was your privilege, and that was your perspective, and how dare you do such a thing, and you need to be much more sympathetic to Jacob Blake. I said when I watched the footage, immediately I said he's resisting arrest and he was trying to leave the scene of a crime. Why else would the police respond with that force? And you notice they cut the footage. The full footage shows Jacob Blake with the police on top of him, and he's resisting arrest, and he's trying to get away. Now, the footage that they show you is him walking to his car and trying to get in the car and hop in the car and drive away. And in that same footage, you don't see the fact that he's got three kids in the car. So I've been saying this entire time that this guy was resisting arrest. This is ridiculous. Why would we possibly use this as an example for racism in the United States? Why would this huge explosion happen? So finally, again, Jacob Blake comes out on Good Morning America, and he's there, and he's in the wheelchair again, because unfortunately and tragically, he'll never walk again. But he said that he thought that he was calmly walking away from the situation. Here's what that sounded like.
I'm not really worried I'm walking away from them, so it's not like they're going to shoot me. I shouldn't have picked it up, only considering what was going on. At that time, I wasn't thinking clearly.
I got to say, I'm happy to be right about this. Again, it's a sad situation, but I wonder if we'll ever kind of learn from this, that we'll take what we need to take from this and understand that we shouldn't be so reactive when tragedy happens. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. We got to take a real quick break, running a little bit over. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. This is going to be our last segment because we are being preempted by basketball. How's that work, Peyton? You want to do a hot promo for the basketball coming up?
Yeah, coming up next, Seattle U basketball right here on AM 770, KTTH 545 pregame show. Tip-off is at 6 p.m.
I love it. You should get a job in broadcasting, sir. That was absolutely amazing.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Let's check some text messages before we get out. You got a lot of great text messages. Again, the podium controversy continues. This has been going on now for the better part of an hour. We have been debating, should we call the gentleman who was the very famous picture of him walking through the Capitol Rotunda with the podium? Many people are saying that it is a lectern. Now, I have conceded that it is, in fact, a lectern. And so people are now saying that congratulations on making such a turn. Congratulations on coming to the light. See, this is the thing. To be intellectually honest, when someone offers you better evidence, when someone offers you a more compelling argument, you accept it for what it is. What I despise about people so many times is when you are talking to somebody and you're really trying to engage with them in an argument and you're really trying to get them to look at all the facts and evidence that you're presenting. And again, they're just formulating the counter argument in their brain and they're not actively listening. And I think that we should all practice our active listening skills. So thank you very much, people, for especially 360 for correcting me. Lectern man. 253 says, what about Viking man? So it turns out Viking man, people are calling him the QAnon shaman. And he was arrested as well, and he was not eating earlier this week when he was arrested because he was not being served organic food. Turns out he was a vet as well. Many people who were at the riot, turns out that they were vets in some capacity. Now, Viking Man was in the Navy, which says a lot about him as a person. Point being is that what is going on with our men and women in the armed forces, or at least a fringe group of them, that got really locked up in that environment? What happened to these individuals where they went down the rabbit hole and they really got locked up in this kind of QAnon conspiracy? Let's see here. It says, when it comes to the left, no, I will not accept that you use the term fringe, but it's not fringe that's a party platform when you have multiple people in Congress who are telling people to get in the face of Trump supporters. You're referring to Maxine Waters. I will agree with you. To the extent that there are still members of the Democrat Party who do consider themselves to be moderates, who I happen to agree with somewhat on some issues, people like Joe Manchin, people like Tulsi Gabbard. So I think we should recognize that there are elements of people who are more kind of center left, who tend to be kind of maybe Democrats who are still living kind of in a pre-Obama era, who still have that political mindset. And then there is a huge swath of the party that has now completely just gone down this weird space of we need to censor conservatives, we need to censor people who don't think like us, and we need to crack down on free speech, and we need to take everybody's guns, and we need to make sure that nobody can go to church anymore, and if you do go to church, it has to be entirely inclusive, and you can't have a private church ceremony anymore. Night Mike says, all of the Democrats are going to the inauguration will be dining out, including your governor. That is very funny. That is very true. is referring to all the Democrats who have been caught over the last 6 months, who have gone out and been caught dining out. And this is why I don't think when people talk about COVID-19 and they say it's this horrible, awful thing that we all need to be afraid of, if Gavin Newsom, who is 50-something years old, if he feels safe going to a dinner with 12 of his closest friends, why can't I go to a dinner with 12 of my closest friends? The same thing goes for Steve Adler, who was the mayor of Austin, Texas, who went down to Cabo San Lucas on a private plane. Gretchen Whitmer allowed her husband to go fishing. I mean, this is ridiculous. When you set standards for people and then you violate those standards yourself, it means absolutely nothing. Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago, she went out and she got her hair done. I have not been able to get a haircut in quite some time. I find this to be very frustrating. And yet we are told that we're supposed to all hunker down and take this really very seriously. If it was as serious as they make it out to be, you would not see Gavin Newsom at French Laundry. You would not see Steve Adler going to Cabo San Lucas. It would not happen. Like, imagine to yourself that we are truly in the pandemic that they make it out to be. Just imagine that for a second. Would you want to go to a restaurant? I wouldn't. That's madness, right? The way that they describe it to you, that you're going to end up on a ventilator and that you're going to die, the way that they depict it to you in mainstream media, would you want to risk your life like that? I wouldn't. But it turns out that it's not so much. So if it's not so much, why are we all living in fear? Again, got another text says, do not start calling him Viking Man. Vikings did not wear helmets with horns. He's still Viking Man to me. Peyton, what say you, sir?
There is no stopping calling him Viking Man. You could convince me any... I was going to mention this earlier. When you were saying, you know, let's use our active hearing, let's hear what these people have to say when they make a compelling argument, you know, kind of go with it there. You are a much bigger man than I am, Jack Stein, because I will dig my heels into the ground. I will call them Podium Man and Viking Man as long as time exists.
Yeah, and these guys that did get caught, like Note Guy or Nancy Pelosi's office guy, I mean, I do wonder what caused these individuals to just go over the edge. Viking Guy, I really do. I don't understand what causes somebody to do that. Now, if I had gone up to these people individually and said, what did you think of the riots over the summer? What did you feel about that? They would have said, that's disgraceful. I want nothing to do with that whatsoever. I'm not interested in participating in that. But then the standards change. And if you're going to consider yourself to be a right individual, you're going to consider yourself to be a conservative individual, one of the most important things you could demonstrate to people is consistency in some way. Is some kind of moral or philosophical consistency where you say, I don't appreciate rioting in private businesses. I don't appreciate people stealing from other people. I think that people should be left alone. I think that violence is disgusting. And yet we see here that people are going out and they're committing these crimes as if they are different from the people who were doing it over the summer. And when I was covering the riots this summer, there are some weird correlations that are going on. Over the summer, we know that there were mortar rounds found in Cal Anderson Park, Molotov cocktails, the lasers that were being shown in people's eyes. You see people throwing tear gas back at the police. You can see that happening at the Capitol. So what is going on in American culture where people are fed up? I actually think this has a lot to do with COVID-19 and the lockdowns, because people, you just leave people alone in their homes without any human contact. They can't go to work. They can't do the normal things in their lives. And so what do they end up doing? They're spending way too much time on the internet. They're spending way too much time, as they say, the idle hands, the devil's playground. They're spending way too much time trying to take in this information, trying to find an answer to their misery, and they end up again with these fringe ideas, and that's how you get this boil over that we saw last week. 702 says, there are a lot of great veterans out there, myself included, so don't even go down that road. I'm not talking about all veterans. I'm talking about the men and women who were there, who were veterans of our armed forces, who were participating. As a matter of fact, there are just a certain percentage of the people who have been arrested that were in our armed forces. So again, what is going on with those individuals to cause them to crack? Otherwise, normally healthy individuals who served in our military, and then they end up on the internet and they're taking in what kind of information? Someone says he's a self-proclaimed shaman, referring to Viking guy. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, he calls himself a shaman. He has to only eat organic food. I did want to touch on this, though, with just a couple of good news pieces. Gary Sinise, everybody knows he's a right-leaning individual. He's actually, in many ways, been ostracized from Hollywood for his views on politics. He started the Gary Sinise Foundation, which helps our men and women, active duty military, first responders, their families, and those in need. And he has committed so much money and so much time. He goes to USO ceremony. I mean, just an amazing individual. He's going to be awarded the 2021 Lincoln Leadership Prize. I think that that's just absolutely amazing. Again, he's been Oscar nominated. And he really, over the last 10 years, has kind of disappeared from Hollywood and just dedicated himself to the Gary Sinise Foundation. And I couldn't be more proud for him that he's going to be the recipient of that award. And then additionally, if you need some good news, just to wrap up the show, a robocaller was hit with a $10 million fine by the FCC. And I say that that is nothing but good news. I'm Jack Stein. I've been filling in for Jason Rantz the last couple of days. Really appreciate everybody. Appreciate the listenership. Jason will be back on Monday. I will see you all next time. Goodbye.